One of my favorite pieces that you did was your project for the Art on Market, the Muni posters, where you rode along some major bus lines in San Francisco, interviewing the drivers and riders and sort of creating a portrait of the line itself from the stories and places you learned about. How did that originate?
I'm interested in showing people hidden kind of systems and things that, again, like living in a city, there are so many people that are involved in kind of keeping things going and working that we don't think about. And so I was kind of interested in spotlighting the Muni operators. I think also because ever since I moved to San Francisco or the Bay Area, I've been kind of shocked how much vitriol and like anger is aimed at Muni. And so I kind of wanted to just learn more about the system, but also give the operators, the driver's side of the story. And I have my dad was a bus driver for a long time, both school buses and city buses. And I have an uncle who drove city bus in Minneapolis for a long time. So I kind of knew that, yes, the system is frustrating, but it's also like a really difficult job and also kind of crazy interesting job. So I proposed to just work with 6 different operators and sort of feature their routes. And I was kind of surprised actually how much freedom Muni, I thought Muni might try to censor it a little bit more, but it's interesting the politics of like all the drivers who they recommended drivers to me, and all the drivers they recommended to me had worked there for like 7 years or more. One, I think, had worked for Muni for like over 20 years. And they had such seniority that they didn't really fear losing their jobs. Mm. I think it's pretty hard once you're like really in that system to be booted out. So they were really frank and their stories were not very edited. I was really surprised. And Muni actually allowed some things. I mean, some of the things didn't necessarily paint Muni in the best light, and they didn't try to censor anything. So it was really just trying to show the public transit experience from the perspective of the drivers.
I thought it was sort of neat how it sort of made the drivers iconic and sort of like honored them in a way that I've never seen before.
Yeah, that was the idea. I had originally, my idea involved commissioning Art Academy students to make oil painting portraits of the Muni drivers. But the Arts Commission didn't go for that. It's funny, I'm always kind of like, I used to draw and paint so much and then I kind of got scared of it for some reason. So I a lot of times have ideas that involve having other people paint and draw, and then recently have started to do it again myself, which is fun. But
I find that your work sort of crosses a boundary between art and craft and sort of social activism or even sort of a soft community organizing in a way, you know, just because you're making these community connections. Do you see a distinction between any of these things or, you know, whatever?
Not really. I think I get self-conscious about those things sometimes, sort of like, maybe more so with the craft thing. Like, there are certain things I do that I don't consider part of my practice because they're more, I think of them more as like just little fun things I do on the side. And then other people will kind of be like, why don't you consider that to be part of your practice? I mean, I paint birds for people sometimes as gifts, like thank you gifts. And I've never shown that. I mean, it's not on my website. It's not something and maybe it will someday transform into something that feels more like my practice. But even the garment remake exchange feels kind of like separate to me somehow.
What's different about those things?
I don't know. That's what I feel like I'm trying to figure out, like why, if it's a part of me that just feels like it's fun and easy, so therefore it's not valid. Like it has to be like, it has to be hard. Or I mean, a lot of times the projects, I spend a year or more organizing, working on these bigger projects, and somehow those feel more like valid to me for whatever reason. I think it's like maybe a Irish German work ethic issue or something, yeah, of like, right.
It like, feels like work.
Yeah, like really like wanting to prove to myself and other people maybe that I'm actually like doing hard work. Not just
it shouldn't be
a
this
fluffy
easy.
Artist. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and then the community organizing, I just like my husband, who is a curator and writes a lot and has like kind of is someone I go to for feedback around like writing about my own work, has used the word activism and community organizing around my work, and I always sort of like, I don't know, I guess because I never think about those terms when the ideas, it's mostly just ideas that I feel excited about in like my gut.
Do you feel scared off by those words? Finding them?
I guess so. I mean, it's interesting. I just read this whole article by Claire Bishop about social practice and some of the rhetoric around it, and the kind of expectation of this level of ethics and ethical practice, and the scrutiny of these kind of projects being so sort of based on the ethics of them sometimes, that the artistic success, the success of the projects as art is sometimes like overlooked or overshadowed by the ethical questions. And I mean, I think that because of I'm a pretty sensitive and careful person, I consider, I try to be really considerate of the people I'm working with always, and what kind of experience they're going to have with the project. But I don't know. It's a tough question. I like the idea of art having the potential to create possibility for people where there might not have been possibility otherwise. And that's when I think about like the project at the hospital, the possibility of nurses and patients having a even very mildly shifted relationship to each other because of this project, and the roles of being a little switched, of the patients having a little more agency and the staff kind of receiving something from the patients, made by the patients. That's what I get excited about. And I guess that's what people are trying to do when they're doing community organizing and being involved as activists. I guess maybe there's something to do with like the importance of the process. I try to let go of a really specific idea of an outcome. Like I am trying to always let go a little bit of wanting there to be a specific result, and just sort of having an intention going in.
We've talked about Laguna Honda Hospital project. Maybe you could just describe the whole project.
Sure. The project is called Drawn Together, and the idea was to work with patients at the hospital. It's a long-term care facility in San Francisco, and teach really simple printmaking techniques that anyone can use, and to sort of deal with subject matter that was loosely related to life in the hospital, which ended up being just some portraiture, like based on photographs of patients and staff, and then also plant imagery based on photographs of plants growing on the grounds of the hospital. So the prints that came out of those workshops, and the patients have a lot of them have dementia, resulting from maybe old age or drug and alcohol abuse or variety of causes, and then some have more sort of physical rehabilitation that they're going through. It's a big place, 750 patients. There's just, it's hard for them to keep like enough going on to keep people stimulated. So that was part of my goal, was to just have something that people could do that would really be kind of a little bit challenging and engaging. But then to take that work, and I worked with a textile designer to have a repeat pattern made from the two motifs, the portraits and the plants, and then had yardage printed, 2,000 yards of fabric total, and then had 500 scrub tops made in various sizes, professionally sewn, and then 750 pillowcases made, one for each patient in the hospital. And the idea being that their work, the artwork would kind of have a life beyond just being up for an exhibit for a week or a month, but really be worked into the day-to-day operation of the hospital. So pillowcases and scrubs being worn by the staff made from the same fabric.
Did you get much feedback?
Yeah, I mean, I worked on the project for about 2 years from the beginning through to the end, and I got to know a lot of the patients and staff pretty well. And the hard thing about working with dementia patients is they might not remember the next day what they worked on with you. And there were a few patients who were a little more kind of aware of what was actually the bigger picture of the project, and that was really nice for me, because they were really excited, and you know, when it finished and the final product came out, they could make the connection of that their work was part of this bigger thing. And there's one woman in particular who actually wore the scrubs like, I think, so much they started to fade after like a couple of weeks when I'd go visit her. Like, obviously they'd been washed several times, but she was super, super proud of that, and so that was nice. And and then the nurses, I mean, I try to do so much research about like what kind of fabric they wanted and how many pockets and, you know, colors. And I'm not a nurse and I don't spend much time in a hospital, so it was hard to really gauge like exactly what would kind of fit into the culture of scrubs at the hospital and yet be something new and different and challenging enough to be interesting, kind of that fine line of tailoring it to their needs but also having it be really unique. And it was interesting reactions. Like, some of the nurses were really excited and so proud of their patients, and actually the pillowcases ended up being kind of really worked. We just, like, after they were handed out, I'd walk into a ward and like all the beds in some of the wards would have these really brightly colored pillowcases on them in a setting that's otherwise pretty, like, you know, everything's bleached white. And then with the scrubs, I was really surprised. I couldn't have imagined that this would happen, but some of the nurses were actually a little bit like, once they'd actually had the scrubs, and then once the pillowcases were handed out, they didn't want to wear the scrubs because they were like really turned off by the idea of wearing something that was the same fabric as the pillows. And maybe it's just because like they're changing the sheets all the time. It's like messy and intense and gross job in a lot of ways, and there's a certain distance they need from that, and maybe that connection was like almost too much for them. But then there were others who just, you know, thought it was a great idea and were really thankful for the effort to bring something like that into the environment.
What are your thoughts on how the economy has affected artists, at least in the Bay Area? Have you seen people change the way they work to stay afloat?
I don't know. I guess I definitely know people who took the leap of, you know, quitting their day jobs and making a living selling work, which is really awesome. That, I mean, just seeing people do that is really inspiring, and I know that for those people it's gotten hard and kind of scary, but I don't know that I've necessarily seen them take any sort of drastic or different measures in the way that they work. For me personally, I think I've always sort of like have plans A, B, and C, you know, for what I need to do to make a living. It's always been the fact that I was able to make a living as an artist for a whole year kind of felt like amazing, but I always had like my plan for what I was going to do when the grants ran out. And so I don't know. In a way, I feel like maybe artists are having an easier time of it than a lot of other people because we're used to having to constantly be super resourceful and inventive and having our income be really unstable and fluctuating all the time and having like a bag of tricks that you can go through and pull out of to save yourself from not being able to pay rent. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like most people I know are playing the same game of like hustling to get work in whatever way they can. Oh, I do have a friend who does has a commercial gallery, and he recently had a party and was selling some prints to raise money for the production of his show at the commercial gallery, which I don't know if that's necessarily a sign of the times or not, but maybe that's just the fucked up way it always is. But but I think that has something to do with his gallery really being especially short. Like, I think maybe in better times, the gallery would have fronted him some capital toward the production of the work, and that is not happening. So it seems like the people who really are more involved in the market are more immediately and dramatically affected. But I mean, obviously we're all affected by nonprofits closing and grants becoming more competitive and more sparse. And well, I know that people who are involved in, you know, people trying to find teaching jobs, that's definitely changed dramatically in terms of the level of, you know, you think about all the people who didn't need to teach because their work was selling. I mean, they're having a great time with the market now, are like
needing those jobs.
So those are the signs that I've seen. I definitely had a friend who had a really horrible experience with a teaching job that was going to happen and then was suddenly canceled because of budgets. So, but in terms of the way people are working, I mean, I think in the thing is, the Bay Area has never been a supermarket driven art scene. So it probably doesn't feel as dramatically affected here as it does in, say, LA or New York, where the bigger, you know, what's happening with art in those cities has more to do with the market than I think it does here.
Well, we're starting a new project where we're asking every artist what is valuable about art.
The doozy.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, it's interesting because I grew up with a grandmother who's an artist, and then, you know, family who was pretty relatively supportive of me going into the arts. And but even then, you know, it was interesting when I started out as an illustration major thinking I would like figure out some practical way to use my creative skills. And and when I decided to switch to being a fine art major, my mom, my sister, my grandma, everyone was kind of like, really? Like, are you sure you want to do that? And I think ever since then, I mean, it was a really scary leap for me. And I think I continuously come up against that of like sort of questioning the value, questioning whether there's something more valuable that I should be doing. But I feel like it's hard not to say something cliche. I don't know. I had a teacher in high school who would try to answer this question by talking about how like everything in the world is designed by artists, cars and chairs, and without artists we wouldn't have shoes, or, you know, but that's such a different thing, like trying to kind of place this sort of practical value on artists who design things or contribute to the I guess that's the thing, is the value of a world outside of commercial interest. And that's, I mean, it's been interesting with grants because, like in one case, funding, I got funding from the city of San Jose, and I was working with people in the community, including people who are sort of bordering on being homeless and kind of having to like juggle this feeling of like, okay, I'm receiving money from the city, and the people I'm working with are struggling financially and frustrated with the city for not funding, you know, homeless programs. And, you know, I mean, it's just, I think it's a question that I come up against a lot. And at the hospital too, I remember I was going around with the scrubs, and one of the nurses was like, I thought San Francisco was having in a budget crisis, and we're spending money on, you know, specially designed scrubs. That's just ridiculous. Like, she actually started kind of going off on me about like the pointlessness of what I had done. And you know, I mean, I had the comeback of like telling her that none of the money came from the city. It was a, you know, a private foundation. It's, I think people who don't struggle with that question maybe are ignoring it, because we in our culture, like, there's not a lot of validation for the efforts of artists, and artists are continuously expected to do things for free or kind of be happy just to have exposure or be given opportunities to put their work up. And when you are faced with kind of the intersection of making artwork and making a living, that question of values just gets really complicated, I guess. But I want to live in a world where there is cultural production outside of things that have commercial value and things that can be sold for a profit. So I think that is a big role that art has to play, is continuously asserting that need and not just kind of giving in to the idea that we can just buy everything that we need in life.
Well, thank you so much for all your work on the project and talking to us today.
Thank you for making it happen.